Well, who's ready for the word of the Lord? Well, we've been looking at the series on Psalm 23. And so what we're going to do today is, by the way, my name's David. What a great badge. What a great badge. What a great name. Amen. So I hope you've been enjoying the series that we've done on Psalm 23. I hope that has been a blessing to you, and I just pray today God will speak to you. But I thought it'd be great if, for one last time, if we could stand together as a church and read Psalm 23 together. So you ready, everybody? And we're reading it in the old King James Version because, you know, Psalm 23 is always best in the King James Version. What do you reckon, everybody? My opinion, anyway. Here we go. Let's read together. The Lord, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul.
He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness
for his name's sake. Yea. Amen. And Father, we just thank you for that beautiful psalm that we've just read together. And Father, we just pray as we just unpack verse 6 of that psalm. Lord, we pray that you'll speak to our hearts today. I pray for everybody in this room. Everybody's on a journey. Everybody's got a story. But I pray, Lord, as we just look at your word, we'll encounter you through your word today, we ask. Also pray, Lord, for miracles to be taking place. Lord, even as the Lord, your word says that these signs shall follow the preaching of your word. And we pray for signs and wonders to follow the preaching of the word here at Real Life Church today. I pray for people who are not well. That, Lord, as they sit under the word right now, that your anointing will just wash over them, heal them. Pray for those who are discouraged that today you will just lift them up into heavenly places. Lord, as the word is preached, we pray this, Lord, have your way in the mighty name of Jesus. And everybody said, amen. Amen. Please be seated. Under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, a man by the name of King David wrote Psalm 23 around about 3,000 years ago. That's a long time ago. And we have seen how, over the last few weeks, we've been looking at how Psalm 23 is a magnificent short poem or song that uses imagery of an ancient Middle Eastern shepherd's relationship with his sheep to describe the profound relationship that Almighty God has with his people, with us. And so over the last few months, starting with the great statement, the Lord is my shepherd. And how many people are wearing the Lord is my shepherd t-shirt today? Come on, stand to your feet if you've got it on. Come on, stand to your feet. The Lord is my... Come on, Greenie, come on. Only three of us, amen, praise God. Well, those shirts sold really well, amen. Well, starting with that opening sentence, the Lord is my shepherd, we've slowly progressed through this psalm and we've looked at how God relates to us and how we relate to him. So today, we've finally reached the concluding verse of this remarkable psalm. And so the final verse of Psalm 23 says this. It says, surely goodness. Who remembers that song? Surely goodness and mercy. Okay, let's leave it there. Amen. Now you know why I'm not on the singing team. Hallelujah. It says, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Now, unlike the rest of Psalm 23, so it's got six verses. So unlike the previous five verses, this final verse breaks away from the shepherd sheep metaphor. It just speaks plainly to us. And it concludes the psalm. But like the rest of Psalm 23, just like the other five verses, this final verse is just absolutely jam-packed with great spiritual treasure to help you thrive in life, to help me thrive in life. And the whole point of what this message about is today is that when you go out through those double doors, you're going to go out better than the way you came in. And so we're going to visit this psalm today and we're going to unpack it today. But in order to unpack this final verse, what we've got to do, we've got to begin by revisiting the first verse of Psalm 23. And that's because the first verse of Psalm 23 is connected to, this final verse of Psalm 23, surely goodness and mercy, that's connected to the opening statement of this whole psalm, which says, the Lord is my shepherd. Let me explain. We understand, if you've been coming over the last couple of months, that Psalm 23, along with the rest of the Bible, was not written in English. That might be a surprise, but 3,000 years ago, English simply didn't exist. So instead, Psalm 23 was written in an ancient language called Hebrew. And so when we read our English translations, including the King James Version, we don't realize that the opening statement, the Lord is my shepherd, is actually the meaning of one of God's names, because God has lots of names. The Lord is my shepherd is actually the meaning of one of God's names. And the Hebrew name is Yahweh Raha. Some say Jehovah Raha, Yahweh Raha. I prefer Yahweh, Yahweh Raha. And Yahweh Raha was what King David originally wrote at the start of Psalm 23. But since Yahweh Raha means the Lord is my shepherd, that's what we've actually got written down in our English Bibles today. But the fact that King David used God's name is just so very, very important. And that's because in the Bible, we see that God has revealed who he is through the names that he uses throughout the scriptures. Indeed, every one of God's names reflects his character and his nature. Now, your name has meaning. Rod, your name has a meaning. What's the meaning of your name? I'll tell you what it means. I'll tell you what it means. It means, oh, handsome one. See, your name has a meaning. Most of you, unlike Rod, probably know what your name actually means. However, everybody, it's highly unlikely that the meaning of your name reflects your nature and character. For us, our names are just names. Sounds good, doesn't it? It's a name. But in the Bible, names are treated very differently, and especially so when it comes to the names of God. So when King David said, Yahweh Raha, the Lord is my shepherd, it was not some light-hearted, feel-good, wishful thought that he was attributing to God. It was so much more than that. Rather, King David was stating that God is a shepherd to his people because that is who God is for the rest of eternity. Being a shepherd is God's personality and his nature. He is the good shepherd. Amen. Therefore, those who submit to God choose to surrender their lives, their relationships, their past, their choices, their future, and their heart's desires to him. They follow him. Following God is what believers always do. Believers follow God. We are the sheep. He is the shepherd. We don't follow anymore the philosophies and the opinions and the values of the world. We have chosen to follow the opinions and values of Almighty God. We've chosen to follow God, our Creator and our Savior. The Lord is my shepherd. It's deep. Now, Jesus Christ came into the world about 1,000 years after Psalm 23 was written, 2,000 years ago. And Jesus said this, he said, I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep and they know me. You know, when he said that, it was quite a remarkable statement. Every Jew who heard Jesus say that he was a good shepherd, they understood that Jesus Christ was claiming to be Yahweh Raha. I am the good shepherd. I am Yahweh Raha. So when Psalm 23 says, the Lord is my shepherd, is clearly pointing at Jesus Christ as that divine shepherd. And Jesus' message to any would-be disciple was back then and still is today, follow me. See, you cannot call yourself a follower of Jesus if you're not trying to follow him. Jesus said this, the Bible says in Matthew 16, it says, then Jesus said to his disciples, if any of you wants to be my follower, you must give up your own way. Wow, wow, wow. Seriously, Jesus. Yes, seriously. If any of you wants to be my follower, you must give up your own way, take up your cross and follow me. So following God means we follow Jesus Christ, who is God. And following Jesus may be a new concept to you. It may be a new thing for you. And that's okay. But what I do is, I want to say is, I just urge you to learn more about Jesus. And you can trust Jesus with your life. And so trust him and obey him, because Jesus Christ is the only one who knows where he's going. So you need to be following the right person. Amen. Jesus Christ is the way. He is the truth. And he is the life. Follow him. Amen. But we must ask the question, what has that opening statement, the Lord is my shepherd, have to do with the final verse of Psalm 23? Because remember, Psalm 23 verse 6 says, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. What's the connection? Well, here's a connection between these two verses. The first verse, the Lord is my shepherd, is all about you and I following the Lord. We follow the good shepherd, Jesus Christ. Whereas verse 6 is about explaining what is following you. Following the Lord, but what's following you? And what is following you? Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. Followers of Jesus, goodness and mercy are following you. You don't need to win lotto. You got goodness and mercy following you. Amen. But it gets a bit better because you're not that excited yet. The Hebrew text behind this verse actually indicates that this kind of goodness and mercy is no bland or ordinary kind of goodness and mercy. Neither is that verse talking about having a bit of good luck either. It's not about that. Rather, it's talking about the God kind of goodness and mercy. In fact, the text indicates that in this verse, and it's my job, by the way, to dig out these things. Is it right? I don't want to get too complex. It's my job to dig it out so you can be blessed in Jesus' name. That verse 6, the Hebrew text indicates that in that verse, the words goodness and mercy, in that verse, they become like names of God. In that verse. Goodness and mercy, in that verse, are meant to be taken as names of God. There's a word for that, isn't there? Metanome or something. Anybody know what a metanome is? Let's move right along. Amen. So Psalm 23, and verse 6, is another picture. It's a picture of God himself following you while being disguised as goodness. And it's a picture of God following you while being disguised as mercy. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. I got this picture of my grandchildren. In fact, I've got 10,000 pictures on my mobile phone. But you know when you play games with the kids? Because they're really little and they still like me. And you know, you can hide under a blanket and then you come out and go, Bicky-boo. And that's kind of what I see in this Bible verse. It's almost like, if you want, God playing peekaboo with you. He's disguised. It's goodness coming, but it's really God in disguise. It's mercy coming, but it's actually God in disguise. If you were ever able to rate the quality of goodness and mercy, then this verse, verse 6, is saying that the highest kind of goodness and mercy is following you. It's not a bland thing at all. So here's one of life's great principles that we draw from Psalm 23 as we're concluding this series, and it's this. You follow the good shepherd, and then God disguised as goodness and mercy will follow after you. That's the key principle. You follow, right from the start, first verse, you follow the good shepherd, and I was strong about that. You follow him, and then God disguised as goodness and mercy will follow after you. And this life principle is all part of the relationship that we have with our Creator. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me. But there is actually more to this sentence or this verse, and it's actually concerning the word follow. Because when you think about it, the word follow, what does that even mean? It's kind of like a limited word, because follow doesn't really say very much. For there are many different ways to follow someone or something. For example, you can follow someone to copy them or adopt their teachings. When we follow Jesus, we do so in a way where he's our template for living. We want to be like him. We want to submit to him. We trust him with our lives. That's what that kind of follow. That's a deep kind of follow. But follow can also mean that you're following someone on social media. Follow can also mean that you're literally following someone down the road in a car or on foot. And you can follow someone at a distance, or you can follow someone in order to catch them. Follow can mean lots of things. However, the word follow in Psalm 23 means to give chase and pursue in order to catch the one being chased. That's what it means. It's not a bland, oh, I'll follow after you. Something seriously is going on behind that word. So you could paraphrase Psalm 23 verse 6 to say, God, disguised as goodness and mercy, is pursuing and chasing down the one he loves. And who does he love? You and me. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. Now, everybody, I'm preaching a little hard out here. And I'm proclaiming and I'm teaching God's word with the aim, I'm being very intentional, of dismantling the stinking thinking that we wrestle with each day. And a lot of you got floating around in your head right now. You know, so now listen to this really carefully. God's goodness and mercy is chasing after you. Yes, so you better get used to it. Oh, it's another day of being chased with goodness and mercy. Amen. Get used to it. Hallelujah. And here's something else. Goodness and mercy is going to catch you. You can't outrun it. You got nowhere to hide. You might as well just give up and receive it and say, oh, Jesus, I received goodness and mercy today. Amen. Amen. When life is tough, goodness and mercy will come chasing after you. When you're facing huge challenges, goodness and mercy will come chasing after you. If you're a young person, goodness and mercy are chasing after you. If you're really old, anybody here really old? Goodness and mercy will come chasing after you. You follow the good shepherd, and God, disguised as goodness and mercy, will chase you down again and again and again and again and again and again. Thank you, Lord. You don't need to win lotto. Follow the good shepherd and everything else takes care of itself. I would rather have goodness and mercy chasing after me than to have my past chase after me. I'd rather have goodness and mercy chasing after me than to have my fears chase after me. I'd rather have goodness and mercy chased after me than to have my worries chasing after me. I'd rather have goodness and mercy chasing after me than to have bad luck chase after me. You follow the Good Shepherd, and God disguised as goodness and mercy will chase you down again and again and again. Our focus is the Good Shepherd and following Him. God's focus is chasing you down with goodness and mercy. Don't get them twisted around. Don't focus on your goodness and mercy. You focus on the Good Shepherd. He focuses on the goodness and mercy coming your way. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Amen. Nearly finished. But the final part of Psalm 23 verse 6 says, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. What does that mean? Well, the final statement, that final statement is not talking about heaven. Some Christians think it is. It's not. It's not talking about heaven. Where the verse says forever, it means for the rest of my life. It's talking about here. Goodness and mercy is talking about life here, and the rest of my life is talking about here. So I will dwell in the house, it should say, the verse should say, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord for the rest of my life. When Psalm 23 was written, there was a special tent set up in Jerusalem made for the presence of God, and it was like a house for God. And the people in that place, you know, they would, the Israelites, they would go and worship God at the tent. Very, very important place. And so King David, who was a believer, was really saying in this sentence, I'll dwell in the house of the Lord forever. He was saying that he wanted to be near God's presence. That's all he's trying to say. He wanted to dwell in the house or tent of the Lord. And, you know, him saying that should not be surprising to anybody here, because authentic believers want to be in the presence of God. That's why we're in church today. You want some connection with God. Even if you don't really understand God that much, there's something that's drawn you here today. Maybe family's invited you or whatever. But you've said yes because you're going to have an encounter with God, and there's something in you drawing you into the presence of God today. And that special tent, or in, you know, in that ancient city, was where King David wanted to be, because that was where God lived. I just want to be in the presence of God. I want to know God. I wonder what it feels like to be near God. And so King David, it's interesting, King David started Psalm 23 with, the Lord is my shepherd. And he's finished the psalm with, I want to be near him. I will dwell in his house for the rest of my life. The thing is, though, is that that tent now, that ancient tent, that got destroyed a long time ago. In fact, it got replaced. It was replaced by a building that they called a temple. And that was a long time ago. And that temple was eventually destroyed as well. So it raises a question. Where is God today? Where do you go? Where do you go to find God? Where is God today? Well, the Bible tells us this. It says, 1 Corinthians says, don't you realize that all of you together are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God lives in you? It also says this in 1 Peter 2 verse 5, that you are living stones that God is building into his temple. And Colossians 1:27, we looked at this at Connect Group. It just simply says, Christ lives in you. Yahweh Raha lives in you. So God has a new home. It's not a building or a tent anymore. God lives in the hearts of his people. And we together are the house of God. We are his new home. But then the Apostle Paul said this. He said this, I'm writing these things to you so you will know how people must conduct themselves in the household of God. And it's that phrase, household of God. We are the household of God. What is the household of God? It says this. It says, this is the church of the living God, which is the pillar and foundation of the truth. The scriptures in Psalm 23, right at the end, are really calling the house of God the church of the living God. Or sorry, this scripture, 1 Timothy, is the household of God is the church of the living God. And so the church is God's house. And if that's true, which it is, I want to say to everybody in this room, don't underestimate, don't take for granted what is going on in this room today, and do not underestimate how significant we are together. This is more than a service. This is more than a Sunday event. God is with us. The shout of the King is with us. God lives with his people. God is here. God is here. We are the church, not the building. You know, this building could get bulldozed down and we'll meet under the trees outside. We don't need the building. The building's not the church. We're the church. We, together with other churches around the world, we are the church on earth. Therefore, what does our final sentence of Psalm 23 mean today? And I will dwell in the house of the Lord for the rest of my life. Well, if King David was writing Psalm 23, verse 6 today, he would say this. He would say, and I will dwell within his church for the rest of my life. I will dwell within his church for the rest of my life. We know that King David would say that because the church is the house of God, and he thirsted to be in the house of God. And that's where believers today still want to be. Believers go to church to be with the church because they are the church and because it's the house of God on earth. No wonder the book of Hebrews says, never stop meeting together. And I will dwell in the house of the Lord for the rest of my life. It doesn't matter whether the pastor is preaching well or not, though it does help. It doesn't matter whether the coffee is good afterwards or not. It does help. Doesn't even matter whether the songs are to our liking or not. We gather together each Sunday, and God's watching. He is. We gather together because we are the house of God. Together. And Christ Jesus, Yahweh Raha, the Lord our shepherd, is with us. So in conclusion, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. My paraphrase, which is very accurate. God disguised as goodness and mercy is chasing after you. He's running you down to catch you because he loves you. We say it's an end to bad luck. We're receiving goodness and mercy today. And he chases after you. And God's got that ability that even when you've been smashed in life, he rescues you. And he turns. In fact, he turns situations around, but God does more than turn situations around. Sometimes the things that were meant for your harm and caused you pain, God will take those very things and turn them around for your good. Surely, God disguises goodness and mercy. He's chasing after you to catch you. And we will keep coming and enjoying the presence of God with other believers for the rest of our lives. And that is what Psalm 23, verse 6 actually means. That concludes our series on Psalm 23. God bless you, everybody. Just one little exhortation. I'm finished. 30-second exhortation. Tomorrow when you wake up, everybody, just listen to this. When you wake up tomorrow, whatever you're going to do, go to work, stay at home, on holidays, COVID lockdown, whatever you're going to do, when you wake up tomorrow, address your mind. Speak to yourself. You're speaking to yourself already. Everybody has self-talk already. But be intentional with your self-talk. Stop calling yourself a loser. Stop expecting that something worse is going to happen. Address your mind and tell it that you are no longer a slave to fear. And that you're no longer being chased by your past or by bad luck. If you're feeling that way, it's because the devil's been whispering in your ear. So you start doing your own whispering in your own ear and make sure your whispering is based upon the Word of God. Tell yourself, I'm no longer a slave to fear. I'm no longer a slave to the events of my past. I'm no longer a slave to bad luck. Rather, speak the Word of God over your mind and tell your mind that goodness and mercy are going to ambush you sometime during that day. So get ready to be blessed in Jesus' name. You are blessed, you are chosen by the Good Shepherd Jesus Christ, and you're going to have a wonderful week. Come on, everybody, let's stand to our feet and let's sing. Thank you.